Well, I'd appreciate your prayers.
I'd like to think a little bit this morning about the idea of the truth. There's a lot of false information out there today. Just about everything you deal with, and maybe everything, except for God and God's things, you'll find a lot of error in it, generally. If you pay attention to the news cycles, politics, from city council all the way to the president, you'll find there's a lot of error. The truth is a casualty of most human endeavors. The Lord was very interested in the truth. It's very important to us today what the truth is. The Lord wanted us to know the truth. He came to a world that had been so touched by sin and error and darkness and blackness that people started believing and making systems and doing things that was so in error of what God had intended, what he made, that there was no way for him to be able to understand what the truth was, what the truth is. So the Lord was very interested in coming and correcting that. It's not altogether corrected, but if people would listen to what the Lord said, it would be corrected. Because he come to correct it. You know, there was a time that people, maybe some cultures still do it, I don't really know. But there is people that used to bury the dead with implements for the next life. They believe that there was a reason to do that. That was it, somehow... would enhance their afterlife. So they would bury them with maybe their weapons, maybe give them extra food or maybe gold and things that they may spend in the next life or whatever. That's totally erroneous. And that's the kind of things that the Lord, that people believe. People had an idea that there was many gods. But the Lord wanted to correct the idea in people's thinkings that there was many gods. There's not many gods. But the truth is there's not many gods. The truth is that you can't take anything from this life to the next one. See, there's a lot of human error that's existed that the Lord wanted to come down and share with his lost creation about what the truth is. See, what the truth is. Definition of truth is truth is a representation of things as they are. We as humanity, we had no idea what the eternal world was like. We had no idea about how this was created, or why it was created, or the being that created it, but unless God reveals to us himself, we wouldn't know that. So the Lord was very interested in coming in and teaching us the way things really are. Are you interested today in the way things really are? Because it's called the truth. You know, we make bad decisions if we don't base it on the way things really are. You start making decisions about life based on the way, just a perception of things that ain't the way it really is. I've heard in education, I don't know that this is any true because nobody ever really tried to teach me this, but the idea that 2 and 2 is 5 is an okay answer. It's not the best answer, but it's an answer. It's an okay answer. No, it's not an okay answer because it's not the way things really are. The things, the way it really is that two and two is four. That's the reality of truth. And the Lord was going to come to a world that had all this misunderstanding. Even the Jewish religion that had the law given to it and had a measure and a shadow of the truth and those things misunderstood the whole idea of it until it became truth became a casualty of the system. They did not understand what God was really trying to do through it, and so there was a casualty of it. And I think, as I thought about this, I thought, you know, this is really a pretty good way to start off a Monarch meeting, because we're here for the truth. I mean, if you come here honestly, you have to come here for the truth. And you know, the truth isn't always something that is necessarily pleasant. It isn't something that always necessarily fits, or is something that I really would want. But if I'm going to do well and understand, and if I'm going to prosper, I'm going to have to deal with the truth, what the truth is about things. So the Lord came down to deal with those kind of things about what the truth really is. One scripture said something to the effect that if you hate your brother, you don't abide in the truth. Because that's not the truth. That isn't the way things are supposed to be. That's not the way it's created to be. It's not right. So when the Lord looked at all of humanity, he looked down and seen what was going on in humanity, there was people that believed that they could appease their God by making a sacrifice of their children. God wanted to correct that. That's a bad error. That's a terrible error. There's people that think that in order to be happy, that you have to achieve some kind of level of earthly success. That's an error. That's an error. If I become a millionaire, I can be happy. That's an error. That's not the truth. And the Lord wanted to come and bring a measure of truth to us. See, and we're here this week, hopefully, with the desire in our hearts that the Lord would reveal more and more truth to us. That we would be able to receive more and more of His truth. God, the scripture says that the Lord hates every false way. I have to assume that God is a God of all truth, and all false things that is assumed that's not correct in its assumption, God would hate it. Because it is aired of what He done, of what He created, the way He done things. He hates all false ways. Well, if God hates all false ways, I think maybe we should hate them all too. Lord, help us to be a lover of the truth. And I'm not talking about some dogmatic, fanatic stand about something. I'm talking about a lover of God's truth. The way the eternal things are. The way it was meant to be. What salvation really is supposed to be. Lord, I need to know what the truth is. What is your order of things? What did you make it to be like? I want to start with a scripture in John, the 14th chapter of John. Jesus says here, I'm going to start with the first verse, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas said unto the Lord, "We know not whether thou goest, how can we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. I am the way. I am the truth." So Thomas said, "Well, Lord, you said we can go. See, The Lord said, you know the way. He told him, you know the way. But Thomas said, Lord, we don't know the way. But the Lord just said, you know the way. Well, Lord, we don't know the way because we don't even know where to go. Yes, you know the way. You're looking at the way. I've come in the volume of truth. I am truth. Jesus was the truth. He came to reveal the truth. As we look at him, he was more than his words. It was his words, but it was his whole life. He portrayed to them what the truth is. He told them the truth. You want the truth in your life? I am the truth. Follow me. Follow what I've done. If you can put an attribute to yourself that the Lord don't have, you better get rid of it. Because it's not the truth. Jesus was the truth. If you can't imagine the Lord getting mad and throwing the hammer across the room, then maybe you ought to alter that by the help of the Lord. Because he said to them, you know the way. Well, we don't know how to get to where you're going, Lord. We don't even know where you're going. Yes, you do. I'm standing here. I've lived before you. You've seen my manner of actions. You've seen how I dealt with children, the sick, people, my enemies. You've seen how I've responded to things. You know the way. I am the truth. The truth is a revelation of the way things are. I am the way things are. I am truth all the way through. I'm no error in me. I don't respond in error. I don't respond in blackness. I don't respond by human emotions that makes me want to do something different than the truth. You know, that's what really gets us most of the time about the truth. We have things in there that causes us to want different than the truth. That's why we struggle with the truth, is because many times if you've done something to me, I want to make sure. See, I want to respond in a way that's not the truth, but I'm caused to do that. If I have something that I want to believe, a cause or something that I've taken on, whether it's political or team sports or whatever it is, I have a reason to believe something. I'm going to believe that over top of the truth. Jesus had none of those things. And that's why he could say, I am the truth. You want a way of life that is correct? I'm coming to reveal the way things are. I'm going to reveal to you eternal things. You want to know what God is? He said, you want to know what the Father is? You're looking at him. Well, people have wondered since mankind entered. All down through the ancient world, people have wondered about God and about why things are like they are, why the storms are like they are. And this God that we understand, what kind of a nature does he have? What kind of a character? One people you remember saying, oh yeah, let's get Israel out in the valley because their God's a God of the mountain. Remember, we lose war one place, but we'll fight him some. Oh, well, we can't fight him up there because it's a God of a mountain. Let's get him down in the valley. Let's get him somewhere else. No, Jesus comes to represent God totally as God. He's not a God of the mountain. He's not a God of the valley or the sea. Or he's not a God of the air or the earth or the now of the ocean. He's not a God like that. He's the God of all creation. He's a God that says, I am. He's before it all. He has to say, this is an all-powerful, all-knowing, almighty God. You want to know who he is? This is the truth. This is the truth. You want to know about salvation? See, there was a man in the scriptures named Nicodemus. Nicodemus wanted to know, but he was under the pressures of life. He was under the normal peer pressures of life. We've all been there. And he was under those kind of pressures that made his emotions, and many of them wasn't able to go beyond that to get the truth. Folks, we're going to have to be able to go beyond the pressures of our own life to receive the truth. There is some times that we just won't want to do it. But if you're going to really receive the truth, you're going to have to open your mind and your heart to receive of the Lord what the truth really is. And Nicodemus was one that was willing to do it, but he wasn't willing quite yet to do it in the open. He was going to do it. He needed to go to the Lord. He wanted to go to the Lord. His heart was to go to the Lord. So he snuck around and done it. He done it at night, and he come to the Lord. And I love Nicodemus' story because I liked what he starts off and lays Nicodemus out of the scene and loses every argument that you can make. Because Nicodemus' first words to the Lord was, is that we know thou art God. Do you know what he done? Do you realize what he done? He took all of Nicodemus' arguments away. How can you say somebody's of God and then say they don't know what they're talking about? Don't work. Nicodemus come and just laid it out before him and said, we know thou art of God. So I'm here. What is the truth? What is the truth? I'm religious. Religious all my life. I'm steeped in religion. I'm steeped in these things. And yet one comes along and shows things that we've never been able to do. A power and stuff that I can't deny in the honesty of my own heart. What's going on with me? Lord, help me. What's the truth? I need to know what the truth is. We know that thou art of God because you do these miracles. You know, the Lord was very willing. He didn't tell Nicodemus to go off somewhere. He dealt with him. He started telling him the way things are. Nicodemus couldn't hardly get it, but he started telling him the way things are. He says, truth is the conformity to fact or the reality. Exact accordance with that which is or has been or shall be. Conformity to the fact or reality. Exact accordance. He came to witness to the way things really are. This world isn't the way things really are. Do you know where this is really a confused, arid, black, dark place in the way things are? The news media gets things so wrong. Things are so messed up. It's such a mess. There's so much error in religion. There's so much error in all these things. The Lord came to bear witness to the truth, to the way things really are. And so Nicodemus comes, and at the end of it, he's saying, Lord, is it possible? And he said, Nicodemus, unless a man be born again. But born again, can a man enter into his mother's womb? I'm trying to reveal to you the best I can, Nicodemus, the way things are. The way they are. You're going to have to open up your mind. It's not easy here in the flesh. You're going to have to open up your heart to really receive of this. There's a scripture, I think I wrote that one down, John 17:17, that says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. You know, set them apart. Set them apart in this world. Sanctify means two different ideas. It's to set apart from, and it's to make pure or holy. So it is, both of those are in the idea of sanctifying. The actual setting apart is the purifying and holiness. Because once you make it holy and purified, you're set apart from the world. So it is to be used, the old vessels of the tabernacle were to be used solely for the purpose of the tabernacle or for the temple. They were set apart. They weren't to be used in casual or secular use. They were to be used only for holy purposes. They were set apart. And it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Through the truth, sanctify them. Set them apart make them to understand the realities of the eternal world. The realities of the truth of what salvation really does. Been in a lengthy idea. It's been in my mind. The Lord's been dealing with me and had some reasons for it to be that way. But I've been thinking a lot about the sin you must doctrine. There ain't no way you could convince me. Now, you could convince me of all kind of failures I have. I agree. But you can't convince me that the scripture teaches that you're supposed to sin. It absolutely does not teach it. The revelation that Jesus came, the truth is that there is a mighty, almighty God, and he brought a system through a great Christ and a great salvation that has the power to deliver us from sin in this flesh. I want to tell you this, without going into a different message here, it's all about having Jesus. There is no experience to where you can live it without Jesus in you. We are defaulted to sin, folks. Our default system is sin, but underneath of all of us is the sin idea. The sin idea is under everybody in this life. That's who underneath. That is the sin idea. And when you say you have no sin, that's what it's talking about. You have a sin idea underneath you. Your default system is sin. So don't say it's not. You need Christ every day, every hour, all the time to be able to live victorious of sin. That's the truth of the scriptures. But he came to reveal the truth. And not to be in error, folks, and think that it's acceptable to just live any kind of life. It isn't acceptable. Jesus came to bring a grace that's powerful enough to give us victory over sin in this life. You don't have to lie, cheat, steal. You don't have to do those kind of things. You don't have to have bad and evil and lustful thoughts. You don't have to do it by the grace of God. You'll do it by default if you don't have Christ aboard. You don't live for him close. You'll have that's the truth. But he came to reveal the truth to us. And if you want the truth, folks, I'm going to tell you of my own personal life, and I believe the scripture bears it out, there's only one way to get it, and that is to commit yourself totally to it. To surrender yourself and say, Lord, teach me your truth. Sanctify them through the truth. Set them apart through the truth. Through the revelation of the way things really are. The way they really are. Not in some imagination. Not in some kind of a wannabe thing. Not in some kind because men... Listen, folks. You know men's tried this. And we could do it too. We could all get down and say, let's vote in 20 capable people that we can listen to. Let's vote in 20. Let's all get together and we'll nominate and we'll go through the voting process and we'll vote 20 people that will counsel us and run in whatever they say we'll do. Folks, listen. I don't care if you get 1,000 of them. It's Jesus to come and reveal the truth. And it isn't about every minister worth his salt. And I'm going to say it here among us too. Because if you got any ministers raising up saying, look at me, I'm going to tell you, don't look at him. Because any minister's worth his salt is going to point you to Christ because you don't have an experience and you don't have anything worth anything if you don't have Christ. It's about having Jesus in your life. That's above. And he came to reveal the truth about what salvation is, what it does, and where it takes you. There has been all kinds of ideas about what the afterlife is about. Jesus came to reveal. There basically is two of them. There's two places that you get to go. Jesus came to reveal that. You say, there's no hell. Well, you'll have to take that up with the one that came to reveal truth. Because the one that came to reveal the truth says that there is. He came to reveal all this to us about the whole plan of God and what it is. And folks, I want to say, I think the truth is very valuable. Let's not diminish what the truth is. I mean all the way through. What is it that he wanted to tell us? What relationship should I have with you? Is that in the scriptures? Is Jesus revealed to us what my relationship with my wife ought to be? Yes. Has he revealed to me what my relationship with my neighbors ought to be? What about the truth about what people in the congregation ought to be? Fellow saints. It's all there, isn't it? Did he reveal in us how to deal with our problems? Church problems. Well, I mean, there's revelations of the way things are. And the truth about how you ought to perform. You know, the Lord really was interested, so much interested in this, that it was his mantra. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the truth. Look, you want to know what the truth is? Here I am. Study me. Watch me. Follow me. Do what I say. Do as I done. Because I am the truth. That's what I came to give you, the way things really are. And without error, folks, Jesus Christ performed his duties here without error. He done and revealed truth perfectly. He is the way of truth. Another scripture that is familiar is 18th chapter. 18 and about, let's see. You remember, I'll go back to the 33rd verse. It says, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, "Sayest these things of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" Then Pilate laughed. He said, "What is truth?" Pilate may have done that in contention. I don't know. But he also may have done it in, you know, it seems awful abstract. Who can know it? What is truth, anyway? I don't know how Pilate done it altogether, but I believe that Jesus had convinced Pilate of some things that he needed convinced of. Jesus convinced Pilate that Jesus wasn't after an insurrection to overthrow the Roman government. He plainly said, "My kingdom isn't of this world. My servants aren't going to fight. I didn't come to do that. I come to bring the truth. It isn't going to conflict with your kingdom. We're not going to overthrow your kingdom. Never intended to overthrow no earthly kingdoms. If I would want to overthrow earthly kingdoms, you'd be overthrew. I don't overthrow kingdoms. That's not what I come for. My kingdom isn't of this world. I'm setting up another kingdom. I'm setting up a kingdom to where I have a people that know the truth, that believe the truth, that love the truth. I'm coming to bear witness of the truth. I'm telling you the way things are. Pilate, you're going to... he could have said this. He could have went ahead and said, if Pilate would have really wanted to sincerely know what the truth was, I believe even at that time and place, Jesus would have revealed the truth to him. Yes. If he would have been, I'm here with somebody special. This is God. And what is truth? And he'd asked like that. I believe Jesus would have responded to him and said, "Be my disciple and you'll find out what truth is. Learn of me and you'll find out what truth is, for I am truth. I am the truth that you need." But Pilate wasn't sincere about it, obviously, because the Lord didn't take no time at all dealing with him about the truth. He simply told him that this is the way of the truth. I should bear witness unto the truth, the way things really are, the world that really exists beyond here, what heaven is really about, what God is really about, what God really expects. God does not expect you to puncture yourself with nails. God does not expect you to wound yourself. And God does not expect you to sacrifice your children. And God is not a children. I come bear witness of my Father. And you see him. And what have I done? I've loved the poor. I've been gracious to the sick. I've healed. I've helped. That's what God is. I come to tell you what your Father in heaven is. I bear witness to his power, his strength, his glory. I bear witness to all these things. I bear witness to the salvation that I'm going to bring. I'm bearing witness to all these things. I'm bearing witness by it, by saying to people, "I know your thoughts." He outdone them on every hand. He knew what they thought. How can anybody know what another person thinks? The truth. He's the truth. He knows what the truth is. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Oh, Lord, you know, we need to love the truth. We need just love the truth. Embrace the truth. Why struggle and fight the truth? Just love the truth. I ain't saying I can know all the truth. Lord, help me to know what the truth is, but to love what truth is and love God in truth and love what the truth is. And Lord, help us to know the things and not get caught up. Folks, listen, we're just humans down here too. If we don't keep the Lord real close and live for him real close, we could just be a group of people that gets caught off on tangents and beliefs, and we'll have our dogmas and our creeds, and we'll stand real strong on this, and we won't even know why we do it. We're just human too, folks. We need a love of the truth. I need to know this. I believe in the idea of the unity of God's people. You know why I believe it? Because Jesus revealed it. That's why. I don't take nobody's other credit for it. All these church, all these things. I know what the Bible says. That's what he come to reveal. He didn't come to reveal it was all these. He come to reveal that he had a church. Not churches. That he had a church. That's what he's going to make. The revelation of that. You know, that truth is important. It should be important to all of us. And they that are of the truth will hear my voice. That's true. The witness is there. That is the truth. I want to think of yet another thought. In 2 Samuel, this is a familiar story. 2 Samuel 12, you remember the situation that King David got himself into when he, you can start read that in the first verse of the 11th chapter, but he was up, goes up on the rooftop, and wakes up, gets up in the evening time off his bed, and goes out on the rooftop and sees a beautiful woman bathing, and you all know the story. Her name's Bathsheba. Well, at the end of the 11th verse, he marries, goes and gets, after Uriah's death, he goes and gets Bathsheba, and he marries her, and he becomes a wife. All done. Right? End of story. All, it's all covered up. It's all... We want to get right to the real heart of the burden I have today. About the truth. Because I think it's wonderful, the old books that explain the truth. You get to say, hey, that's truth. That's what the Lord said. That script, that's truth. And you can have all the books in your library. You can have all the information. You can believe it all. You can do it all. But there is a truth that the Lord comes to reveal about us, individual us. I need to know about that individual, the truth about me. Because I don't think I'm any more likely to know it by myself than I know the other by myself. Because it's easy to have reasons not to know it. So, David's in a situation, he gets Bathsheba, and God sends Nathan the prophet to him. All's covered up. There had to be some people know it, I think, but there was very few. Probably had it covered, probably thought he was in pretty good shape, and along comes Nathan the prophet. Tells him this little story. I want to tell you a story, King. There was a man that had one little ewe lamb, and he loved it, like a daughter to him, like a child. Oh, he nourished it and kept it. It was just very special to him. Well, this other guy, he has a big flock. He has all kinds of them. He has a somebody's journeying through and comes and stops, has a visitor, has a friend come by. And so then rather than to take from his own flock, he spares his own flock and he goes and takes the little ewe lamb and he slays it and he dresses it and he feeds it and they feed it to the and that. And David understood that, didn't he? David understood that. Are you kidding me? If somebody would do that? This is the guy done it. All right, I say this is what needs to happen to him. He needs to pay back fourfold and stone him and all. You can read it. It wasn't saying a lot of mercy there. That was awful what that guy done. And Nathan the prophet says, thou art the man. I wonder what that felt like at that time for David. See, we're in a beginning of a 10-day meeting. Yeah, yeah. And there's going to be a lot of revelation. Yeah. I've been here. I know there's a lot of revealing goes on. The Lord wants to reveal the truth. Yeah. He wants to reveal the greater truths of eternity. He wants us to understand the things of God and who He is. But he wants us to understand who we are too. And the whole idea of Jesus coming was the idea of he's going to come and show us who we are. Because when you compare the old Sadducee, Pharisee religion to Jesus, he shined them up. He showed them who they were. They were false and fake and there was no righteousness there. Jesus, in one account, a man comes to him and says, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says to him, keep the commandments. I've done it since I was young. I've done it since a youth. What do I lack? One thing thou lackest. The one that reveals truth, folks. The one that tells it the way it is. Jesus is the one that tells it the way it is. The reality of the way it is. This is, I'm a kind, generous, loving, good, sated person. This is who you really are. Can you know who you really are? Go to Revelations and find out. Oh, Church of Ephesus, Church of Laodicea. Those some of you are lukewarm. Who can know it? You thought you were there. Others say, we're increased with riches and have need of nothing. And you're poor and wretched. Who is it that reveals? See, it's the Lord that reveals. You want to know the truth? See, we're starting into a meeting where the whole idea of it is that we don't really, as much as we appreciate everybody, and I really appreciate the ministry and see the ministry here and thank God for you, but really I'm not so much interested in your opinions. If I want your opinions, we can talk anytime after in the session. But when you get up here and start revealing, I want the revelations of the Lord, don't you? I mean, isn't that what we come for? We want the Lord to say to those that are lost, those that are in sin, those that are out there. We want the Lord to reveal, this is the way you are. You're lost and undone. Or say that you're a hypocrite here. Or you need this. Or this is going, I'm going to take the candlestick from you. You've lost your first love. You still, I commend you for what you've done. But you're in danger of losing it all. I'm about to remove the candlestick. You better repent and do it at first word. And the Lord comes in by the revelation, brings us the truth. The truth. The truth about who you are. Lord, help us. Because David, I understand the humanity of it, but it's always amazed me. David was the one that had faith to take care of the lion and the bear.
Yes, he did.
And it propelled him to take care of a giant. I mean, he seemed like in everything that he'd done, God was a part of it. Right? But there's one day when he's not where he's supposed to be. It said kings, in the time that kings were at war, wait a minute, David, the scripture even described him as a man of war. But he ain't at war. Well, David, what's going on? How did he do that in his mind, do you think? I don't necessarily want to get into psychology here, but what did David do in his mind when he done his hideous deeds? I mean, did he really think that the Lord didn't see it? I mean, really? It always amazes me because your experience in God is only as good as your alone moments are. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I appreciate you. I mean, I appreciate that you're not dismannered, right? I'm glad that there's people distracting while I'm up here trying to do it. It's hard enough the way it is. I appreciate the manners. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate that kind of stuff. But none of us is any better than our quietest moments, our private moments. I mean, David may have seemed awful spiritual and sung songs and all of that, but what are you thinking? Where are you at? Are you really believing that you can do this and God's out of the picture? And my point is this, folks. The truth about living for God isn't wrapped up. We are to be a collective group of people that have God on board our personal lives. You need to have Jesus in your personal life. There is no substitute for it. I can't soothe it. I can't help it. I can't make it better from here. No preacher can preach it out of you or up away from you. The only thing that the preachers do is to preach the word of truth to encourage, to sanctify them through that truth. That's all they do. So you have to have the Lord. And for some reason, David lost the concept that God saw. So, yeah, okay, the nation ain't watching. There's no TV screens on you. There's no hidden mics on you. You're not going to be shown out over the airwaves. There's no, there. But God's listening, David. David, God's seeing you. Folks, if you're living a life that eliminates the idea that God sees you and you're trying to appeal to the saints, can I tell you the truth? That ain't no good. It don't work. It's not the way things really are. The things really are is that we're going to go each individual in here. You're not going to go holding hands. You're going to stand before God just the way you are. And the scripture says you're going to give an account for deeds done in the body. What you've done with your time and efforts here, you're going to have to give an account for. All the pretenses, all the religious ideas, all the special songs, thank God for them, but all the special songs, all the times ministering and all the miles traveled and all that you can do and do of that. If you don't do it in reality and truth, you do it wrong. So, you know, we have a wonderful opportunity for those that's going to be here anytime at all, because I think God's will and heart, Jesus' very will and heart when he come to this earth was to reveal the things the way they really are. God don't deal with fantasies and falsehoods. He deals with the reality of the way things really are. This is what he wants to deal with each individual in this meeting this year. He wants to deal with just the way it is. Marty, you know, David, you can read the 51st Psalm, but he goes on to have great repentance of this time and all that. And David was a man after God's own heart, and God, and he definitely found his way in God's favor and great. And I'm thankful for it, because maybe we've all had times that we needed that kind of a place. I definitely have. I want to know what the truth is. I want to know it about everything. I want to know what the truth is. So, Lord, who am I this meeting? You say, search me, O Lord. Try me. Try my reins. Pull on me. Look at me. Look into me. Shine the searchlight in there. Lord, reveal to me who I am. But you know, God does his part perfectly. But God wants this to be a unified effort between us and him. And there's things that plainly put the ball in our court. It says, you search out. You examine yourself. I'll help you. You have the passion and the desire for the truth. Am I, Lord? Isn't that the way it should be? Am I desperate enough to say, Lord, help me? Or am I a seed? Well, I was saved all the way back. I about forget now. I was saved way back there. What? 80. I got to get this right. It's been 30-some years. I've been saved. Well, surely I've arrived by then. I don't have to go. I don't have to press and do all that. But now, Brother James, do I have some rights now? I mean, I'm in a place now after all those years. Right? There's some places you can kind of you get your seniority in, right? I've got some seniority here. No, it's not that way. There's no revelation to that truth. I find it just the opposite. Lord, I need you more now than I ever needed you. Lord, help me. Lord, help me to get all that I can to redeem the time, for the days are evil. Lord, help us all to be faithful to this time that we have. This is a time that the Lord has given us. I know this is a place, and I thank the Lord for it. I think it's right. It's a time where God's people come together and fellowship together. I enjoy you guys. I mean, that's just true. We enjoy it. But that can't be the prime reason for it, because there's such an opportunity for the truth. There's such an opportunity to have truth revealed to us. So, Lord, help us to open our hearts, because this is a perfect opportunity to get whatever we might need. And you know what? I'm not being critical. I just know that it's true. I've looked before and said, Lord, help me to understand Why after 30 years do I still have this? Or why I see this obvious problem, this old brother, he's lived for the Lord for 50 or 60 years, and he's obviously got this just place that he can't overcome. Lord, is it your plan that he can't overcome it? Well, I come up short of that. I think a lot of times there's a lack there of really wanting to get at it. Lord, I need help. And I want to mention Brother Jim White in closing. Many of you knew him, but he was special to me. Your old brother Jim White lived for the Lord as passionately and as fervently as anybody I ever knew. He loved the Lord. He loved to tell people about the Lord. He wanted to work for the Lord. He almost couldn't meet a stranger, and everybody he met, he tried to tell them about the Lord, and he had tracts in his pocket, and I'm telling you, he was a magnet. And he got down to the end of his life, and I would have said, if anybody should have just been able to have said, Lord, I done it. And he come down to be the end of his life, and he got into labor, and he was striving, and he called me, Brother Marty, would you come down to the house? Yeah, I'll come down, Brother Tim. I need to talk to you. Brother Marty, I need you to pray with me. He said, I've been asking the Lord. I've been asking the Lord if there's anything. And he said, something come to my mind. And he said, I said something. And he said, I really feel like I need to make it right. I really need to make this person. And finally, after a while, I said, well, Brother Jim, when did that happen? 1948. Well, Brother Tim, I'm not sure that she can make it right. I'm not sure you can. But I've got to know that it's right between me and God. Yeah. I've got to know. He labored. We prayed over that thing until he got peace. And then there was some brother Jim coming. And he told me at one point, he said, he felt like the Lord was going to give him 3 years more. He told me, the Lord's going to give me 3 years. I didn't see his vision. The Lord didn't tell me that. And he didn't have to. But one day he told me to come. Oh, I was concerned about Brother Jim saying things like that. We don't want to take the Lord's name in vain. If the Lord said it, that's fine. But boy, I don't know. And we got down there one day and he said, you've got to come down and talk to him. I got down to talk to him and he said, Brother Marty, do you think it's possible for a person to want something so badly that he says that he thinks the Lord tells him something? And I kind of hit, yeah, Brother Jim, I think it's real possible. He said, Brother Marty, I'm afraid I've done that. I'm afraid that I used the Lord in that. And you know, he repented of that. But you know, my point is, he wanted to be saved. And he wasn't afraid of the truth. The truth. Sometimes the Lord says, it's your time. Lord, I want the truth. The reality. You know, the reality of it is that we're all going to go. Let's just admit it. There's a reality. We ain't going to live forever. Everything you get isn't going to be healed in the flesh. It all ain't going to be. Let's just be real here. The Lord didn't say it any differently. He did say that he would be with us to the end. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you to the end. Do you know that's a truth that I will tell you? That's one of my truths. The Lord said he wasn't going to leave or forsake me. He's with me. He's going to be with me to the end. I know that. No matter what I go through, the Lord's going to be with me. Because he told me he was going. That's the truth that he comes to reveal. And you know something else that I lean on? You lean on it too. Sometimes when I can get discouraged or not know what's happening or get some oppression coming on me, or the devil tries to do that, you know something I fall back on a lot. Sometimes even when I make failures or I don't do things like I wanted to, I fall back on God is love. That's been one for me, I'm going to tell you. If Jesus loved me enough to die for me, he loved me enough to keep me. Why would he have died for me and then let me go? No, he ain't going to let me go. And I have relied on the fact that God loves me. You can rely on it too, because it's the truth. It is the way. things are. And you can build on that. When you go to tell somebody at the altar, you that work the altars, can I tell you something you can tell them? When they come to the altar and they don't feel like they're worthy, you can tell them you ain't. But God loves you. Or He could love me. No, I'm going to tell you. Jesus says it's the truth. He come to reveal the truth. And you can't get sinner enough that He don't love you. Can you? That's the truth. So we can go with the truth. I'm going to tell you, truth empowers against the devil. It empowers against darkness and error. The scripture says in one place, different places, it talks about a blindness. A blindness that's over people because they will not receive a love of the truth. People that didn't receive a love of the truth said they was seared or blind. For not loving the truth, folks, we need to love the truth. It's the power that Jesus brought to us of the things they really are. You can build on the truth as a foundation. That's why you can build on Christ. He's the truth. He says, I am the truth. Amen. Well, what is the truth? You're looking at Him. The truth. This is the truth. Lord, help us. You pray for me. I want the Lord to reveal the truth to me. Amen.